With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Aotearoa Rugby Podcast. Ross Carl here with James Parsons and Bryn Hall. And boys, we're getting close to some test footy. James, you must be excited.
Oh, I'm frothing. Especially after that North versus South game, the quality of that. So test match footy is only going to be a step up. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've seen all the, obviously, on the infomercials and all the dates are set now. So, yeah, I think as a consumer, for me, fan of the All Blacks, I'm really looking forward to seeing them. And there's obviously a lot of young fellas that are coming through and that have been selected in that squad. So it's going to be a great opportunity to see those young men and you see how they handle test footy in the next coming months.
It kind of all feels a little bit surreal, like this isn't really happening. You know, like there's all this stuff that's happened and this is 2020. Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, we're going to have crowds next week. You know?
Yeah, I reckon that because there's been so much sort of, I'll call it debating off the rugby field around getting to the point of where we're playing it, how it's been played, things like that, you sort of, it has crept up even on myself that, you know, we're 2 weeks out of seeing test match footy on a Sunday afternoon, All Black footy as well on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. It's like going back in time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I'm going to order that Domino's real soon. get that ready to go. But, I mean, it looks pretty phenomenal. But, well, they've got something to juggle, don't they? You know, they've got to have a squad and then they've got to have another squad ready to go to Australia in a couple of weeks' time. They've got to add 11 players to what they've already got. How do you go about creating a 46-man squad? Like, what positions do you change? And how do you go about making it so you don't have just people sitting around for long periods of time in Australia?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose form has to come into it. You know, you don't want to just go all out, maybe guys that have had experience of All Black footy. I think form's crucial and no other player, I suppose, more than most has put their hand up in Lachlan Boshier. You know, he didn't get a run in the North versus South. And I think someone like him might be knocking on the door. Similar to Luke Jacobson for Waikato, he's going extremely well. So there's boys in and around that that are knocking on the door. But I think most of it, they'll probably add one more prop, which, you know, would potentially be Gus Brin, do you reckon? And then at hooker, I think, you know, Ash Dixon's just knocking down the door, isn't he? I mean, another big shift on the weekend.
He's just continued that form from Super Rugby, hasn't he?
Yeah. It's,
and if there's ever one that's deserving, you know, the guy that's plied his trade for a long time, and, man, 2020's been an awesome year for him, so it'd be great for a guy like that to get an opportunity.
I think to go back to Ross's first point is how do you manage a squad of 45? You know, to have someone like that in there that has leadership qualities, has an ability to drive, I suppose, the team outside the team to bring that intensity at training and things like that. I think, you know, he can play a massive part in that, and so could someone like Angus Tarvell. You know, like those two boys could be key in running that sort of non-23 to prepare them best.
Yeah, because you can go one or two ways. You can have the – because you obviously need maybe possibly specialist positions as well with that 11, and then you can have an experience, I guess a balance of having a couple of experienced players like you've talked about, but then maybe some young guys as well.
Yeah.
The young guys that are ready – or not ready, sorry, but I guess you're right, they might be holding a tackle bag for a while, but being in that environment and then training for that amount of time, I think it would only benefit them as well. So they can go either way, to be honest.
Yeah. On that, though, as well, like young guys that are putting their hand up in Waiata Team Cup, you know, a couple for me, and not being biased, Tom Robinson, like when he's on the field, man, he's just so destructive, but then has his ability to add a bit of finesse to his game on the edge. He's starting to interplay and really growing that part. Can cover lock six, so good squad member. D Devin Flanders had a huge shift against Canterbury in his physical defence. You know, he's driving guys back that are trying to run down his channel just relentlessly. And then at lock, you've got a guy, Manaki Selby-Rickett, who's, you know, really driving the force with Tony Lamborn. Yeah, and that Southam pack. Josh Goodhue, I thought was another big shift. And then you got Scott Scrafton. So there's enough sort of guys that haven't played All Black rugby that are hovering in and around and performing in Minor 10 Cup. Because I agree with you, Bryn, I think you do need that reward of form. I really like the angle Dave Rennie's taking. He's just constantly talking about, I'm picking form, I'm picking form. You know, and that puts pressure on guys that have played rugby as well. Yep. And then if you pick on form, you know that they're in a good shape so that they can put that pressure on. And then you're only going to foster, no pun intended, intensity in the squad.
What I have enjoyed as well is that, you know, I guess for those positions that we're talking about, it adds another feel when it comes to the Mitre 10 Cup. You know, you're actually playing for selection during that Mitre 10 Cup. And you obviously get it at the back end of the year with that November period. But now, you know, you're in season and, you know, based on form, you know, that could be potentially a spot in the All Blacks as well. So I think for me as a player, if you think about it, you know, with those, I guess that team and that 11 that are going to be named, it's only going to drive you to try and play better for your province. And, you know, your province is probably going to be the benefits of that as well. So I think it's great, mate. I think it's really good.
There's one game back, Dave Harvilli, surely. Like, mate, he was unbelievable on the weekend.
Mate,
like, he is seriously? Like, his game management's as good as a 10. I think he could go into the squad that could cover 10, 12, 15.
Yeah.
You know, mate, his kicking game with his, you know, running game, like, oh.
Oh, mate, I'm already on that horse. I think the biggest thing that I love about Dave is that he has that versatility as well. And, you know, he's done it at Crusaders. He played 10 this year when Richie was injured, and he's played 12 at the early part of his career. And, you know, he's been outstanding at fullback for the last 3 years with us. So I think if we're talking around 11 people in that squad that have that versatility, which, you know, the All Blacks love. And, you know, you think about Tasman, you lose a guy like Will Jordan, who's been in probably one of the form fullbacks in the country, not just in Super Rugby, but in Mitre 10 Cup. And you get David Harvilli scoring three tries and having.
You replace him with the guy that's probably been the form fullback for the last, you know, 2 years at Mitre 10 Cup and Super Rugby level, you know?
Yeah, like, mate.
He'd be the first name on the sheet for me.
Yeah, if there's ever a guy that's deserving through consistency of week to week and what he brings, not just on the field, but leadership skills and his professionalism, you know, he's a guy that, you know, you definitely got off for me personally. Yeah, he's got to be in that 11 or there or thereabouts.
That probably goes back to your point about Ash Dixon and Angus Tarvale. He's a guy that you could have in the 46 or whatever it is, who could add that as well.
Yeah, exactly. But also, you know, that's not to just take away from those guys and say that's all their role would be. They have the ability to play, you know, as well. So it's, and like, I just thought him on the weekend, you know, after a bit of a break and, you know, pretty serious by the sounds, Bryn, just comes back and delivers a shift like that against, we'd say Waikato were potentially the form, equal form team going into that game. And I know they were away from home, but, you know, he made light work of it.
And I think it comes back to as well with Dave, he, you know, loves being back home. And, you know, they've got a pretty successful team down there at the moment. It hasn't just been built overnight. And, you know, when I always talk to the Tassie boys, they love going back down there, and not only for the rugby, but the place that they're living and I guess the kind of culture and success that they've brought down there. So, you know, when you're happy, and, you know, for him, he plays a big part in that community down there. It's, you know, playing happy and free, and then at the same time being in a good team. You've seen how good David Harvilli was on the weekend, and, you know, probably for the foreseeable future in the competition, which hopefully doesn't come this week, because we're playing Tasman this week. So, Davey, I hope you have an absolute shocker, mate.
Yeah.
Hope you're no good.
Get in the All Black squad right now.
Oh, mate, just to take a week off, Cobb. Take a week off. You've got nothing more to prove this week, mate.
Yeah, just rest on that. Another guy that we need to be mindful as well, and looking at that first five position, you know, Josh Uoane, I think, you know, he's coming into his own. But Mitch Hunt, you know, he was in that North-South fixture as a back three member as well. So he must be knocking on the door as well, you know, behind a good pack and a form team, but also how he delivered for the Highlanders. I don't know how he saw it.
Yeah, I thought Josh Uoane was outstanding, and he was a big part of why they won that Ranfurly Shield. And you know, the one thing I love about Josh, and I've said it before on the podcast, you know, his attacking flair and his running ability just brings another dimension into not only Otago, but you know, we saw it at Super Rugby level as well. So, you know, if he can keep continuing to do that and continue as game manager, and like he did on the weekend, in a pretty, you know, a pretty convincing win against a good Taranaki side, minus the Barretts, but you know, he still ran the cutter and played a really good game. And then Hunty again, he's, you know, he's been playing well, played well for the start of the year with the Highlanders, and then, you know, this is probably his third or fourth campaign when Marty Banks left, and he, you know, controls the cutter well down there, and he's a big cog in their wheel of why they've been so successful. So it'd be interesting to see what type of first five that they want. You know, I know Josh has been in the environment, and you know, Hunty's been consistent, very similar to Davey throughout Mighty 10 Cup.
They could take all three though, couldn't they?
Well, yeah, yeah, they could, mate. So, you know, the best thing about playing well is you get yourself in that conversation, and you know, I presume those two boys will be consistently playing pretty good rugby. Again, Mitchell Hunt, hope he goes shit this week. So, love you, then. Love you, then.
Well, one of the positions you mentioned before, oh, you mentioned a few of the guys who play that position: Lachlan Bashir, Luke Jacobson. The number six position in the All Blacks is one of those ones which is probably of the most interest. Have any of those guys maybe come close enough to maybe make Ian Foster rethink the way he might go at 6, 7, 8? I mean, everyone's just presuming that it's going to be Sam Kane, Artie, and Shannon Frizzell, or Sam Kane, Artie, and Hoskins Satutu, you know, like in some mixture of 6, 7, 8, however they decide to put them together. But have we seen performances, and can you take a performance from Mighty 10 Cup and go, okay, that's good enough to change my thinking?
I don't think it'll change his thinking, because he selected those guys for a reason, and they've been pulled out of Mighty 10 Cup. So, you know, it's pretty clear that they'll go with him. But I think guys like Luke Jacobson, Tom Robinson, Lachlan Bashir have all put their hands up. And then another guy that I think potentially is a wild card, but again, going down the experience route, is Gareth Evans coming back on the weekend. He came off the bench. He's pretty good for, you know, Hawke's Bay, but he's been exceptional for the Hurricanes, you know, for the last few years when he's been able to get on the field. He's a good line-out option. He's good defensively, and he's an abrasive ball-carrying, you know, sort of 6'8" and defender. So, again, fitting that mould of, you know, that leadership ability and that ability to, I suppose, be driven enough to potentially train for 9 weeks without a game.
I think one guy that I've enjoyed at their number six role as well, and he had an outstanding North vs South game, was Tom Sanders. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just continued that form of and getting that confidence of playing week to week footy. And
you know, sort of got outplayed on the weekend though.
I
thought Flanders and Brendan O'Connor, and I can't remember who they had at six. But that Hawke's Bay Loose Ford trio was they were into it.
Yeah, they were, and I like that you said Flanders as well, Jip, because yeah, I thought that was one guy that I thought really stood up in that game. And as you know, mate, when it comes to winning those kind of games against especially teams like Canterbury, winning it up front is pretty crucial around there. And I thought he was mate, he was outstanding.
Mickey Ives too was at six.
Yeah,
Marino.
So yeah,
it was a good man. They were good. He's another one.
I was just going to say even him. Yes. You know, even Marino. You know, he played well at Super Rugby. He was dominant. You know, he was right up there when it came to ball carries and offloads, and so he was very dominant in that Super Rugby Aotearoa. And you know,
I totally agree with you, Sanders. I didn't mean to take away from that point, because I thought he was exceptional in that North vs South game, and probably put himself on the mat when he probably wasn't beforehand, which was the beauty of that opportunity. But he's behind a different sort of type five at the moment. You know, there was a young kid who's come out to Blues, Sam Derry in there. Klein, I don't know if you've had much to do with him, the hooker.
Yeah, Shiloh,
Jaeger coming back, you know, and then they brought in some young guys, and that probably lost them the game, as the young guys they brought in, they got penalised scrum, Higgy back down, they got done in a maul, got penalty again, into the corner, maul try.
Yep. And I'll tell you what, mate, that's very uncharacteristic of Canterbury. And that's,
yeah,
you know,
but it's a young type five.
It is.
Something they haven't experienced for a long time.
It is. And, well, as you can see, probably say the last 2 years, that Hawke's Bay forward pack with Ash Dixon getting those tries at the back, but obviously driving those standards when it comes to the line-out mauls, which is such a weapon for them.
And that Tom Parsons in the middle, I'll tell you.
He goes good, doesn't he? Parsons?
Player of the day, big occasion. Give the man a super contract, would you?
Yeah, nice boy.
Actually, that's interesting. I didn't realize. So he's your brother, Tom Parsons.
Cousin.
Because I was watching it, and I was like, hey, is there a similarity there? I didn't actually know that he was related to it.
No, he's been going good for a number of years. He went up to Japan for a bit, played for the Shiba this year, and obviously with COVID came back. Goes good, mate. I've been trying to get commentary into him, but we've got too many good locks at the Blues.
And he's used to service from Ash Dixon, mate. Apparently the best line-up thrower in the country.
Oh, mate, I agree. Like Ash Dixon, he even had an off night the other night. I think he overthrew two, which is very unlike him. So we'll probably blame Tom for that.
They always say everyone blames the hooker, but often it's someone else's fault. You know,
it's always the lifters. Put it down to the lifters.
I suppose one of the things about, I mean, if you mentioned that he's just come back from Japan, that he's one of those guys who's come back because of COVID. And we've seen a bunch of those guys. Simon Hickey played well in his 50th for on the weekend.
Yeah, he did.
I'm not sure. I saw Lalangi Visinia playing as well.
Yes.
Guys like that who've come back.
Yeah, it's I think it's great for us. Like when I first started out, but even you to a point, Bryn, there was a lot of senior guys around. It wasn't like, you know, when you came into the squad, you came in like around that academy sort of vibe and you really had to sort of earn your right. But then what that did for you is when you got your chance, you were good enough to take it. Whereas sometimes like New Zealand rugby is pretty ruthless because we have so much depth. If you don't take your chance, you can be forgotten about pretty quickly. So I think it's great for the game. You know, you see guys like Adam Thompson running around with a guy like, say, Xavier Rowe, who's, you know, killing it at nine, young halfback, but having the ability to hit guys like him or talk to guys like him and you know, Luke Jacobson. And like, to be fair, even Mitch Jacobson's going unreal. Like that Waikato Pack's doing really well. And I think, you know, you just got to look at, I suppose, Jacob Norris from
Tasman.
He's going really well, but he's surrounded by a lot of senior men, you know, and it allows them to grow and just focus on themselves. But also, he's probably been in and around that squad for a number of years, and now it's his opportunity and he's ready to go.
Yeah.
Who else is there? I think AJ Lamb's the same. He's been in and around the Auckland squad, and now he's just finding his own feet, and he's just a live wire winger. So I think it's great for our game. I think it creates strength, but also allows the guys, for when they do get the opportunity, they take it and they perform so that they don't get, you know, left behind after putting in 3 or 4 years of graft.
Yeah, I think what I've really enjoyed as well is that, you know, you hear a lot of stories of old boys coming back, like Thompson and even Liam Messam and, you know, those kind of caliber players. But, yeah, I've really enjoyed seeing, you know, guys that have kind of gone away at an early age and then have come back now, like the likes of Simon and Lungi. Like, it's quite good that we see Simon comes around a little bit to the flat. And I guess talking to him and him coming back, and, you know, he said he wanted to come back and just miss the kind of experience of what it is to play New Zealand rugby. And you take that for granted. And I think when you're at a younger age, and I guess, you know, for him, it happened so fast. You know, we're very similar. We came in at the same time, and, you know, we were, 21, running the cutter for the Blues back in the day.
Yeah,
and then we were real young. So, you know,
haven't aged a minute. Yeah. I was looking at that video the other day. I was like,
yeah,
has he got Botox?
Yeah, exactly, mate. So it's, you know, I guess for a guy like that who it happened so fast and to come back and, you know, to experience the world and to go to France and go to Edinburgh and then, you know, to come back home and I guess apply his trade back into Mitre 10 Cup. And I guess it's more so, do I still have it? Am I still able to play it at this level? And even though, you know, it's Mitre 10 Cup, but, you know, as we know in New Zealand rugby, time moves on very fastly without you. And so when you've gone away from the game for X amount of years, you think, shit, you know, have I still got it or do I still have the ability to play here? So,
X amount of months, mate. Every 2 seconds I get, oh, so what are you doing now? You've retired. I'm like, I'm not retired. Give the old dad a break.
Yeah. Well, mate, you're doing that well on commentary, mate. That's why, you know, I see you every game, mate. So, mate, you're transitioning, mate.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's great to see those kind of players coming back. And, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, they can continue in the future.
Yeah, just on that. Those guys just below that. Yeah, the guys who would have been in the squad but now aren't. What does it mean for those guys?
Oh, like I said before, I think it's a good thing. Like, when you have to earn something, it means so much more and it puts you in a better position to perform when you get the chance. Like I was one of those guys when I was coming through and, yeah, I was frustrated. But, you know, like, I reckon if I'd been given the chance when I thought I was ready, I wasn't ready, if that makes sense. So it's actually setting them up to succeed rather than setting them up to hope to succeed or fail, if that makes sense. And like, I think, you know, I took a lot out of what that piece you did on Simon Hickey, Ross, the other day. You know, like he even said, I don't think I was ready. You know, I look back now and I don't think I was ready. And that says a lot, you know, like that shows how much he's grown and learnt about himself, but also about the game of rugby overseas. And now I didn't even realise, like watching that, I was like, holy heck, you know, he's coming back to have his genuine crack. You know, he's not here to make up the numbers, which, man, you know, a guy of that experience, the guy of that ability to want to come back here and prove himself shows where our game's at, but also shows, you know, how exciting it is for the depth of New Zealand.
That's what I love, Jip. That's what I love about it, because, you know, you hear a lot of stories, like I said, you hear a lot of stories of old guys coming back in and giving back and, you know, wanting to obviously, I guess, move into the transition of their next careers around after footy. But, man, I love a guy like that, man, who, you know, did really well in the age grade groups, reps, and then came and, you know, shot into stardom pretty quickly and then obviously went into do a different direction. But coming back with that same hunger and, you know, because he's been around a couple of times to our flat and you can just sense it in his voice. It's more of like a, I guess, just an awareness of what his journey was, but then, you know, still having the urge at a young age, he still feels that he can give back and play at a high level. So, man, I love it. I love seeing it.
So, I mean, on top of that point, over the time since Simon, you know, when he was 21, got pushed away, have we developed a better form of developing young guys like that who are sprung up so quickly and have to learn the school of hard knocks, especially at a position like 10, where you're learning how to play the game at the top level in the most important position almost? You know, have we developed the way that we treat these young guys now to make sure that they are better developed over time and not kicked to the curb?
Not yet, I don't think. I don't think there's the it hasn't been nailed down, you know. And the reason I say that probably is I would have probably answered it differently had I not read what Rico said the other day. I think he did an article with Patrick McKendry and, you know, said he had a schoolboy mentality and he wasn't prepared to experience being dropped from the All Blacks and you know, how he sort of rebuilt himself and fought his way back. So to hear that, it's, you know, someone that talented, you know, and so young, we probably haven't got it right yet in preparing guys for what failure does look like when, you know, for a lot of them, you know, Simon was the same, you know, schoolboy rugby and that age grade stuff, they were a step ahead of everyone, really. So I think that's the group that we probably need to prepare maybe for if it doesn't go right. A little bit better, because the grafters are just grafters. Like, they'll graft at school and they'll just graft the whole way through, you know. So there's no real surprise of failure. There's almost surprise of success, if anything. And everyone, and then because when they get successful, they've had so much hard work to get there. They're like, well, I'm not going to fuck it up now, so I'm going to work harder. And that's their pathway, you know. But whereas when you're up here and you're the kingpin, there's only one way to go if it doesn't go right, you know what I mean? So it's preparing people, and I suppose it's quite fitting after, you know, it's been Mental Health Awareness Week last week in Mitre 10 Cup, and that's, I think that's an area where we can grow and prepare our young men a little bit better.
Victims of your own talent, is that the kind of thing? You've got to make sure that the guys who are so far ahead of the game don't learn from the school of hard knocks, don't get that second season syndrome, don't get that stuff that comes at them.
It depends the kind of progression of where they're going to from that. So I think, you know, with first 15 rugby, which is, I think it's great, you know, you get a great chance to be on TV and being exposed and to that stuff, whether it's good or bad. You know, some people might say it's really good, but then some other people would say, you know, oh, might be better to go into the club system and, you know, graft your way through that to get into professional rugby. But with the day and age it is now, it's, you know, it's pretty much reality now. If you're playing well at the first 15, you get given a you know, a Mitre 10 Cup contract or an academy system straight away. So the one thing that I have seen that's done pretty well at that kind of level is around I'll take the like Crusaders Academy like for an example. Now their turnover around bringing a group of men, young men from school or wherever they're bringing them from, New Zealand, and giving them a clear plan around what it looks like, and their success rate of them putting out Mitre 10 Cup players is in the 80% to 90% range. So I think it's not just based on talent, but they're giving them the tools. And I think which is important for young guys coming through, is giving them tools to be able to succeed at first and foremost and have a good base and work ethic and whatever the character build, whatever they want to have it as. But I think to give them a support system around if things don't go right, what's your resilience like? When you put in those difficult situations, how can you come out of it? Because I question if that's been done at school. You know, you look at a lot of Auckland, a lot of the Auckland rugby teams, schoolboy stars, and then they just struggle when they get into that super rugby kind of realm, because it's not just based on skill, it's based on mentally and collectively, it's not just based on raw talent. So I think there are avenues that you can do, and I guess that's just my experience I've had when I've had down south for those young guys coming through and then succeeding pretty quickly.
So the schools maybe are pumping them up a little bit too much. I think the schools need to keep them grounded and keep them understanding where they're at and what's to come.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just the day and age, really. Like, it's going to happen. You've got, not only have you got rugby coming to them, you've got rugby league. And so that exposure, which is great, but it's tough at the same time. So having the support systems, whether it be they're going to have their family, which is great, but then having a support base of whatever it looks like to make sure that they've given clear goals to be realistic around what the expectations are. And I guess trying to grow them, not just based on their ability, but trying to get them better outside of rugby and certain traits that you need at super rugby level and minor 10 cup level.
One guy who kind of went through that was Martin Nonu, right? He made the All Blacks 2003, and then suddenly he was off the radar for a while, and then he came back to become, you know, arguably our best second five ever. He's still playing at 37 years of age, and he's learned a lot. I mean, he looks after his body. He obviously is a fantastic player. He's now got a contract to go back to France and play again. Can you believe that?
I can, because it was only a year ago he was playing for us and carving, really, and didn't miss a training session. You know, like, his body's in great nick, but I think the biggest shift these days is exactly that. Like, athletes know how to look after their body. Mm. They know what they need to prepare, and I think coaches and clubs are better at managing older athletes and understanding that they're not always going to be on the grass, you know. Yep. But when it comes to getting on the field and delivering, they will. So I think there's been growth in all areas of the business to allow guys to play on a little bit longer. You know, we had DC in our environment this year, and you know, he's still carving. Like, although he didn't play, but at training, you know he's still got it. He's still got the finesse and the timing. So I think a lot of it's to do around the professionals they are and the way they look after their body, but also the clubs they go to, you know, and the way they look after them. You know, you speak to Jerome, and the way he is at Toulouse, like, he's still carving and absolutely smashing and belting blokes. But, you know, he just loves it there. He loves the environment. He loves the way the club looks after him and his family. And that's all part of it, you know. And then age is really, literally, I know it's stupid, but age is really just a number if you're happy and you're still playing well.
Mm. Yeah.
Says the 33.
Yeah. It feels like 25 years into professional rugby, maybe there's a maturation that's going on. Teams and systems and countries are starting to figure out how to keep going and what it means to keep an athlete in the top of his career for a long time. Because you look at the NBA and, you know, like, Vince Carter only just retired, you know, and these guys can keep on giving.
Yeah.
Well, it's down to your own motivation, isn't it? If it's down to the individual. But the one thing that, you know, wears you out the most probably is just the mental prep and things like that. You know, physically it's not so much, I don't believe, an issue, like, as long as you're healthy physically. It's just, you know, keeping that motivation to want to keep performing and loving your job. And I think the guys that we've mentioned are, you know, just love footy and they love playing, but also they love helping out. Like, Mark was exceptional, and, you know, our group, Dan, was the same. Like, DC was just amazing in the way he was helping others. And, you know, there would be days I'd see him just training, him training, but then Jack Hyten training alongside of him, you know, chatting and talking. Mm. And, you know, there's a young Harbour 10, 12, to have that experience in and around a squad and that almost like a coach. They're playing still, but they've also got the ability to coach, which I think is another growth in the business. Is these senior players are now being seen valuable in the sense that, yeah, they can play say 50%, 60% of the games, but they can also, you know, yep, be on the grass helping coach.
I had, mate, that's 100% agree with you. I think of an example of that for us, like a guy like Tim Bateman, who didn't play a lot of footy for us in his 3 years that he's with us, but we seriously don't win a title without Tim Bateman. And it's just, you know, it's the unsung heroes that goes behind the scenes around, you know, not many people in the public would understand how much of an influence a guy like that had on our group. And it's a selfless job as well. I think I look back at Tim, he could have played anywhere in the country at that time, you know, the last 3 years, and, you know, probably be starting or playing every single week. But
whoa. I'll be the judge of that.
mate, 100%. Oh, mate, seriously, the way that his...
What's wrong with our midfield, mate?
Oh, mate.
Hey, what's wrong with that? Oh, where's mate, he slipping in on our midfield, mate?
I'm pretty sure Ringy might have been in his ear, mate. That's for sure. I'm pretty sure he might have been in his ear.
He wasn't coming to wear 12 or 13, I can assure you.
He would have been very similar to...
DJ and Reeks have got it on lock, mate.
Oh, yeah, this year, absolutely. 100%, mate. You guys were, they were on fire.
Because Sunnyville and Ma weren't that bad last year.
Yeah. Mate. Oh, mate. He's just said he could have gone and started anywhere else in the comp, mate. We know you're good. but you're not that good.
Oh, mate. Oh, I question that.
Red and black brainwashing that's going on. What's happening down there?
I'm a cancer.
I just couldn't let it go.
I'm a cancer, mate.
I would have been, you know, killed if I'd let that go. some of the best midfielders come through our team for years.
But coming back to that point around those guys kind of experience, like, mate, I know Jack Hyden talking around DC and the amount of learnings that he got, you know, an idol of his, but that game management stuff that we've talked about a lot on the show, especially with those kind of positions, it can only be beneficial. And I know for us personally, having a guy like that, he was massive for us and was definitely an unsung hero for us.
Mm,
it's like anywhere in the country.
Yeah, I'm only joking, Timmy. You can come join us. You're a great coach.
Very nice.
Is it also the fact that they can go overseas, experience a different culture, experience a couple of different cultures, and then come home, and there's a certain freshness that comes to you that allows your career to go on that you wouldn't get if you just tried to do it at home and it turned into more of a grind and a repetitive sameness?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, there's two ways of looking at it because I've heard it's, you know, there's a lot of games overseas, maybe not Japan. You know, there's not as many, but they train pretty long hours, so can't speak from experience, obviously, but it's still, you know, there's still an expectation, like when they go overseas, they're paid, you know, they're normally the highest paid players, so you've got to perform and deliver, and we've seen, you know, that pressures of that can be the other way and sap you mentally, so it's not all, you know, roses anywhere, really. I just think it's maturing, you know, growing up. I don't think it's about going overseas and freshening up. I just think people mature. You know, Bryn and myself, we can say honestly, we were never like we are now back when we started, you know, and our willingness to probably help out teammates and stuff isn't the same when you're young and you're just wanting a crack. And, you know, I don't think it's about going overseas and freshening up. I think it's just about that maturity and I suppose the thrill of seeing what you once were in someone else and achieving that and you know, almost if you can help someone along the way and then they go on and achieve their goals, you know, that's a pretty cool thing. I suppose that's what coaches feel every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've become a bit of a father figure in the team, mate.
No, not me, man. I just sit in the corner, kick stones.
Right, yeah. I am now because the big fella's left. He was the oldest in the group, so right here.
No, but you like the guys we've talked about.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have been the way they were, you know. But they're not that way because of their experience overseas. They're that way just because of their maturity. I think it's because of their maturity of as people, not where they've been.
Yep.
Is there a team for both of you that you'd love to go and have a crack at overseas for whether it's for play, for culture, for whatever, a place you'd want to go and play outside of New Zealand that you'd be like, yeah, why not?
I'd love to go to Saracens. I'd love to go to Saracens. We,
couple of the championship
during our COVID break, we were actually pretty lucky to actually talk to a couple of the, Saracens boys and, had some Zoom calls with them. So, I just see that team are very, got a lot of success around them and some quality players there. So, if it was in Europe, Saracens would be a pretty cool spot.
Maybe a brown paper bag full of money under the bed at some point.
Chuck it under the bed, mate, under the table, put it under anywhere. It's all right. I'll keep a blind eye. What about you, Jip? What about you, Jip?
Oh, mate, I'd absolutely love to go join my Blues alumni at Bristol.
Oh, yeah, the Bristol Bears, Pat Lamb.
Bristol Bears, mate. Mm. They look like they have plenty of fun when they play. And they've got plenty of dough. It's all spent, though, so I'll be going for nothing. But yeah, that looks like a bit of fun. Thomas Waldron told me Exeter Chiefs is a hell of a lot of fun and they've got a great, great environment. And from what I can see, Jerome and Charlie and Piraki are loving to lose. So
yes, yeah.
I think anywhere in France would be pretty cool. You know, like I think it'd be pretty cool experiencing their culture and the way they do things over there. And obviously they love a scrum, so that suits me.
I find it France, like, because being a halfback and game management is massive and communication is massive. You know, I think, going to France and, it'd be good. It'd be an awesome lifestyle experience, I reckon. But again, yeah, I reckon for me, I'd have to learn French pretty much.
I think that's what it's about.
You
look at the players that, sort of immersed themselves in the culture, became, long lost sons of the place. You look at Luke McAllister, he was over there for a number of years he's speaking fluent I think that's part of the experience, isn't it? Is learning the language, the culture, and just going all in. Yep. No point going over there half-assed, Bryn. Get into that culture, mate.
Didn't you have to learn a new language when you went to Canterbury anyway? What do they speak down there?
One-eyed, mate. One-eyed down there. Nah. Good comms down there. Not bad. Chip word, no?
So the All Blacks are in camp right now. You guys heard much from any of your mates in camp about what it's like to be in the All Blacks this year, considering everything that's going on?
Had a talk to a couple of the Crusader boys, and they said they just loved being in Whakatane. You know, I can't imagine the last time the All Blacks were in Whakatane, so I can imagine especially with level one being in the rest of New Zealand, what an experience that would have been. So I think for me, seeing a haka as well and being in that kind of place, I know it would have been really, really special for a lot of those boys. So, but haven't heard too much. I don't know. What about you, Jip?
I caught up with Pups yesterday, Dalton Papaliti, and he seemed pretty relaxed. He sounded like it was a good camp. Into their work, but also had some good fun. Nothing really to report at the moment. Pups is a pretty casual guy though, so he's not going to get into too much rugby chat. But it sounded like it was fairly relaxed, by all accounts.
He's a guy who could play a big role. There's a lot of rugby in a short period of time. With his ability to play all those different positions through the loose forward trio, he could be a big part of this.
Yeah, well, he's got a fractured nose, he told me, and a split eye. So he's definitely he's prepared to throw his body anywhere and everywhere. So, I'm a big fan of his. And it's not through a bias fact either. It's like you just got to look at his numbers and look at his, his game and what he's prepared to do. But the biggest thing about his game is he's a power athlete. He's just so explosive and. And when you've got someone explosive that's as mad as a cut snake that'll run through a brick wall if you tell him to, yeah, he's going to be a great 6, 7, or 8, isn't he?
Yeah.
He seems like a guy with some leadership ability too. Like he's a guy, he's a follow me kind of guy.
Yeah, I definitely think he will in time, but I think the best thing for him right now is just focus on himself, nail that, and then that stuff will take care of itself. I think, you know, there's no point putting pressure on when there's so much leadership experience already in that All Black team. I think he's a guy that will relish just focusing on the playing side of things, and I think in time, you know, sitting under those guys, learning from them, will be massive for him, and he'll get those leadership opportunities. He's in our leadership group at the Blues, so those opportunities will come at a level below, but at that level he just needs to nail down and kill his role and nail his training week, I think.
Mm-hmm. What do we expect out of this this year from the All Blacks? I mean, I know we always expect every win for every game from the All Blacks, et cetera, but we're coming out of a World Cup which was dreadfully disappointing. We are going into a championship that's really kind of all over the place. The preparations certainly haven't been what they normally are. What expectations should we have, and what expectations do we have for the All Blacks out of the Rugby Championship outside of winning?
Oh, I think for me, like with all the off-field stuff and just knowing the rivalry there, I just think it's must be building up, must be festering to just make a statement on the field. And, yep. You know, Dave Rennie, there's been a lot said, and myself has said it as well, about what he can do with that Wallabies team and the expectation. And, you know, there's a lot of chat about them, but there's not a lot about the All Blacks and their new coaching group, is it? So I feel like that must be bubbling underneath them. And I just have a feeling that they're really using that, and they'll utilise that as motivation to sort of explode out of the blocks and make a statement, I think, on the field rather than do too much talking beforehand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the loss of a World Cup as well, you know, if that doesn't motivate you as a group coming back, I don't know what would. So I think the points that Jibber said as well, I think there's been a lot of talk around the Australians and the appointment of Dave Rennie, and we've been massive advocates around how of a good decision it's going to be for them. But yeah, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of guys there that that'll be hungry to get the wrongs of the World Cup, and I know, you know, they'll be moving on from that, but you know, it'd still sting a couple of them. So I think getting a chance to get on the field, and you know, we're lucky, you know, fortunate that we're going to be playing Test footy, whereas I think probably 3 to 4 months ago or even before that, we were thinking, man, are we going to have any internationals? So no, mate, I think it's going to be an awesome one, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how Australia go, because you know there's a lot of talk around them, and you know a lot of young faces. Ones that I'm really looking forward to that I've watched during their Super Rugby AU, and you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing how David Rennie responds, and I guess he goes well in these Bledisloe Cups.
I also reckon just the way it's ended up, like with us having the test here, so the first bit of test match rugby is at home soil. You never ever want to lose in an All Black jersey on home soil, so boom, that's motivating you. Then you're going over to the Rugby Championship, and we know all the debating that's gone on about that. And you look at what it did for the Warriors and galvanising them as a group, and that fizzing motivation to just win at all costs and prove people wrong, and you know, just take from them, you know, the Rugby Championship and bring it back here to New Zealand. I think all those factors has just probably panned out perfectly in terms of, you know, motivating and kick-starting them to their next tenure on focusing to that 2023 World Cup with a lot of new faces, a lot some experienced guys coming back. But it just seems to be, as I say, it just feels like it's bubbling underneath that water, and it's ready to go.
Yep. I think people in general are ready for it as well. There's been that much talk about it. I don't know. I just can't wait to see it. So I can imagine the fans all around New Zealand and Australia looking forward to it as well.
Oh, there was an NRL chat there. Jipper, going to have to bring that in.
Sorry.
Ding went off.
Nice, boy. Nice, boy.
But speaking of the Warriors, I mean, the Warriors discovered the ups and downs of being in another country for a long period of time. Obviously, they were there for longer than the 6 or so weeks that the All Blacks will be there. Are the All Blacks, because they're used to one-month touring, World Cups and things, maybe in a better position to handle that than the Warriors were, do you think?
Probably, yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think so, because it's 9 weeks is 9 weeks, there's the quarantine situation. It's different. It's a different challenge, but a challenge I think they'll take on rather than complaining about. Like once it's set in stone and they've sorted out all the, if they're in at Christmas, if they're not, is it the 5th, is it the 12th? Whenever that's all sorted out, I think it'll be used as motivation. I would use it as motivation.
Yeah. I think one thing as well is that they're pretty fortunate that there's going to be a lot of players over there as well. And so I think, you know, even though the Warriors had a good opportunity to grab loan players, there were some times in the games where they just had that many injuries and they just couldn't put out, even though they played bloody well, they just couldn't put in a team that, you know, was just a lot of guys that hadn't played a lot of footy. Whereas us, we're going to have possibly, you know, what have we got there now? 32, 34, and then you're going to bring in another 11. So I think our depth during that time period, it'll be tough time period wise, but I think we'll manage pretty seamlessly, I reckon.
So do you bring in that 11 midway through or do you take them over at the start?
I don't think you take them over at the start, I don't think, because then they can actually play Mitre 10 Cup footy as well. So they can keep continuing to play footy. And then, look, if it gets to a stage where, whether they take them together as 11, then you could. But I think it would be just good for them to play Mitre 10 Cup for as long as they can. And then once they make the decision that they want the 11 over there, then take them over. Yeah. And then they know what their role is, whether that be, you know, what Jip has alluded to around getting this, running that 23, getting the opportunity if that opportunity does come through injury, and then being over there. So, what do you reckon, Jip?
I think it's a tough challenge to keep people game ready when they're not getting the game. So the longer they can leave them Mitre 10 Cup,
yep,
the better it is for them, but it's the better it is for the All Blacks as well for, you know, getting them over there. It's a balancing act though, because there's always going to be that 2 week crawl. It's actually not even 2 weeks, is it? Is it three days or four days? But then it's 2 weeks in total before they could play. So I actually don't know how it works, but it's yeah, you've got to keep them playing, but you've got to have them there available as well. So I'm sure there's a lot of debate going on internally about exactly what that looks like. So it's not.
Well, then, do you reckon they'd possibly name an 11 that who it's going to be, but then keeping a selected few to stay in New Zealand, getting them to play rugby, and then take the guys that they want over there early on? Do you reckon that's possible?
Yeah, well, there's enough, early on, there's enough in the squad to cover it.
Yeah.
It's just, depending on injuries, you've got to understand that if there's a number of injuries, then, and you need some of those 11, there's that 14-day period where it's a, well, we've never been through it before, is it? So, there's going to be, it's a punt either way. If you take them early and then you don't use them, you're probably thinking, oh, we could have left them. And then if you don't take them and then you need them, it's not a decision I'd be wanting to make because.
Yeah.
I think they'll find a midway point between, okay, what's the latest we can leave them? What's the earliest we can take them? Okay, let's find somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
And maybe having those guys who can play multiple positions becomes even more key crucial in that situation.
Yeah.
Crucial.
100%.
If you can cover lock six, even eight, to a point, that's why I brought up a guy like Tom Robinson. If he can keep fit and fresh, he's locked 6'8", he'll go anywhere.
And even the likes of like David Harvilli as well, he can cover.
Well, even Mitch Hunt, that's why I thought they could take all three. You know, they're all 10-15s. Dave Harvilli can cover midfield.
Yep.
I think that'll be the crucial part of the selection. They'll have to take some specialists, probably an extra hooker, prop, potentially a halfback. Is your phone ringing? Or?
Yeah. I noticed you hydrating just before. That was a good message to the coach.
Yeah.
He's ready. He's ready.
Got a big week for Harbour. Come on, lads.
Yeah. Bounce back versus Tasman. Courtesy of a thrilling performance by Bryn Hall.
What a place to bounce back, though.
Yeah, look, it is, mate. I think, whenever you get a chance to go up against the best, it's, it's an awesome opportunity for us. And, we're obviously in a bit of a rut, which is not ideal. But, for us, and the beauty of this competition is that you can't rest on things for too long. So, if we don't prepare well or get certain things right, then, we're in for a long night and we don't want to be embarrassed. You know, we know how much pride we have in our jersey, and we're bloody disappointed with the result, especially how we were on the weekend. So we've got a lot to play for. We've got a lot to play for, and put some pride back in our jersey after some probably subdued performances in the last two against Waikato and Southland. So if we're not, then we're in for a tough night. But yeah, we're in a good spot where I think we can get ourselves out of that, and looking forward to the challenge that's coming ahead for us on Sunday evening.
I spoke to Joey Wheeler and I just said, could he whip up a song to motivate us again like last year?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, Ross, but Joey Wheeler made this song basically saying how average we were and how good Tasman was, and that we stole their coach and all this, and we had it playing all week, just on repeat, just fizzing. We didn't actually end up winning, or did we? I can't remember, but he said to me that they told him after that, they're like, mate, stop making songs. It's motivating teams to come and dust us up.
Maybe a song for Mark Tulare this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's one that hasn't got away. Yeah, still, yeah. Andrew Goodman, mate. Come on, mate. Seriously. Yeah, seriously, mate.
Is anyone lining them up, mate?
Well, we had a day off. Always had a day off today, so we're coming back from Invercargill. So, yeah, I can imagine there'd be some nice words to Mark, which would be good. So, no, he's playing bloody well.
Look at the words, mate. Let's get into him. Let's get stuck into him.
Well, mate, I know how hard it is to tackle the guy. So, mate,
tell Ethan Roots that, you know, he said something about Harvard being shit. Get him fired up. Fire the big fella right up.
Yeah, just chuck some seeds out there, eh? Chuck some seeds out there, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping for a win for Harvard and one of the counties as well. Between of our teams, we are double donutting.
They should have won yesterday. They're in prime position. Kieran Reid was killing it, and they just sort of came out after the break and stopped playing. Like, they went to the corner early on in that first half, and then they came out of the break and took the three after Northland had scored. It would have been, I reckon, a good opportunity to kick to the corner and go back to the driving more that work and sort of stunt the momentum of Northland. But Northland just...
Just on that, Jim, mate. As a purist hooker, you know how good is it, mate, seeing hookers scoring tries, mate.
I love it, mate. I love it how it's this year,
mate. Oh, mate, I know. I'm seriously, mate. I'm watching every single footy game, and I'm like, oh, 5 minute drive. Oh, here we go. Try here.
Freebies for hookers, eh?
Oh, mate.
Where was it the last 10 years?
Like, oh. Mate, what do you mean? When you're all hanging out on the wing.
Don't come at me about that.
That's Colsey's fault, mate. It's Colsey's fault that we're on the wing.
Jeez, yeah. Bugger all these wingers, man. It's all the
now everyone wants to be Malcolm Marks, you know. Malcolm Marks has changed it back to the old school way, you know.
It feels like someone's paid someone to change the laws to make the line out drive far more important, and it was a hooker.
Yeah, well, they're smart men. That's all I do know. They're great at pulling strings.
Yeah. There's got to be some bonuses being written into contracts for tries from line-out drives.
Well, not if you're in Dalton Papali'i's team, because I tell you what, I was at the back of one of the Blues and he just ripped it off me and scored a double. I said, you greedy bastard.
Yep.
Yeah, that should be against the rules.
Oh, mate, Tom Coventry said, is Jibber talking to you yet? I was on the Monday meeting. I was like, no, not at all.
Hey, I'm sure he had faith in you.
Oh, mate, he was just greedy, mate. You watch the replay. He just points it at me like on the opposition.
Selfless, mate, Jip, mate. Selfless.
Oh, yeah. I just thought, that's all I thought. I said, if we get into a tussle here, we'll knock it on and both look like idiots.
They'd be throwing you out of the hookers club for that.
Oh, you know, just team first, Ross. Team first.
Team first, yeah. Speaking of team first, Michael Hooper strikes me as a guy who's a bit team first. Like, do you like him being recalled as the captain for the Wallabies?
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's anyone more fitting in that squad to do the job. But
yep.
I don't know this, but I'm assuming there was a chat that, you know, it's up for grabs that Rennie would have had with him. And I just think you got to look at the way he played in that Super Rugby AU and also the way he led when Rob Simmons wasn't there. She was a no-brainer. You know, he set the challenge out there, I reckon, as the new coach. And as a previous skipper, he responded the exact way you'd want a skipper to respond.
Yep.
Yeah, no comments to the coach about his skinnies, though, I'm sure. from my no, mate,
no. I don't think he needs to worry.
Tom, Tom Christie, oh, that's a good one, man. He still hasn't lived it down, poor bugger. He does that many crunches because of it. He did it the whole year. He just had Hooper in his ear. Just,
oh, yeah. Hooper's living rent-free in his head. Tell him to get over it.
You're fat, mate.
He needs a little weight shit.
Yeah.
One like a fighter.
One guy that I am looking forward to playing is I'm hoping he's obviously had a few injuries, but Jordan Petaia, he's one guy that man that I've got that I watch and I'm just like, man, he could be, if he can get it right, he's given the opportunity and can stay healthy. He's a guy that I think is going to be can take the world on fire. So he's a guy that I'm looking forward to seeing in that team, because I saw a stat as well that there's only six guys that are over 31 in that squad. So this new cab rank that they're coming off, yes, they've got experience, which I think you need in the team, and they've got that sprinkled in there, but it's going to be a lot of names during this Bledisloe Cup and this Rugby Championship that we're going to hear about. And you know, Jordan Petaia for me is a guy that I'm really looking forward to. I don't know, what about you, Jip?
Who's your 9-10? Because you can only set guys like that alight if you get those. I think O'Connor has to be at 10.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking that.
If you're going to go with, you know, that sort of youth, I think he can set them alight.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for those nines. You know, if you think about Will Genier, you know, Will Genier and even Nick Phipps of that, you know, probably the last decade, those have been the two halfbacks. And then you've got Nick White, who's come back in, who, you know, obviously has that experience and has played footy as well. But, you know, you've got, like, you know, the likes of Jake Gordon, the guy from the Reds as well. What's his name?
McDermott.
You know, he was fantastic. Ooh. Unbelievable in the AU. So
yeah,
it's going to be a great opportunity for those nines. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how they go. You know, against Nuggie and, you know, our boys as well.
There's Powell as well. I come back to that.
Joe Powell as well. It just depends how they want to play. You know, do they want to play?
It's got to be Gordon, doesn't it? It's got to be Gordon on form. If he's picking on form, I know McDermott's gone well.
Yeah.
Man, like, what? Waratah's turned around on the back of his ability to run around that ruck.
Well, that's it. That's the selection that, you know, do you go through, is that what they're looking for or do you want a guy like McDermott who gets that ball out quick, has that running game, is a little bit obviously smaller than Gordon, but yeah, it's going to be interesting, mate, because
if you look at, like, I just go based off what he's had in the past, you know, Kerbalo, Ogie Pulu.
Yeah,
he likes that running abrasive nine, doesn't he?
It'll be interesting.
We'll soon find out.
We will, mate. 2 weeks.
So what's your money on, mate? What's your money on?
For who?
McDermott or Gordon? Yeah, McDermott or Gordon.
Oh, man. You've just reeled me in there, Jip, because I was going to go
McDermott. Or Nick White.
Well, that's it. The experience that Nick White has, you can afford to have, you know. But, I'm going to go. I'm going to go Gordon, mate, because you've talked about it. You talked about the past with Pulu and Kerbalo, those kind of types of players.
Yeah.
Jake Gordon fits right into that. But then McDermott as well. He'll be pretty good off the bench as
Gordon,
well.
Gordon O'Connor, surely.
Mm.
That sounds like a hell for leather style of play. Like, you pick O'Connor and him, you've got a guy who loves to take on the line, a guy who likes to be creative, a guy who likes to do things that some people can't do in O'Connor, and suddenly you've got a Wallabies backline that's friggin' scary.
But you've got a lot of youth outside that needs to be unlocked, and I think that can be unlocked by that flat at the line ability to make decision to, you know, run, pass, kick, get that game management stuff balanced up. You know, we spoke about it, you know, from the 10s and the All Blacks, you know, Bowden Barrett, flat to line, looks the best. Josh Ioane's the same. Richie Mwanga, you know, flat, loves getting in behind those forwards and creating options. So I think, you know, and Rennie's already complimented the way O'Connor's turned himself around and all that, but I just think his skill set, his confidence at the moment, he's playing confident, and he's playing form, and all I keep hearing out of that camp is you're going to be picked on form.
It's great to see James O'Connor, man, coming back and, you know, getting himself into the picture where he is now, mate, because, you know, you think about, you know, his roller coaster, and, you know, we talk about maturity, Jip, and I think, you know, you see it in his play now, but even the way he holds himself, you look at the guy that was at the Melbourne Rebels to where he is now and his experience that he's had, you know, I think
that goes back to that maturity and that maturing we spoke about earlier.
Yep.
Is he's probably now like a coach on the grass as well, you know, through his own experiences and having someone like him in the environment with all these new young men and where their careers can go, you know, he's the perfect sounding board.
Yeah.
Or the perfect person to say, you know, knock that on the head, otherwise, you know, you're going down a tough road. So
yep.
I think it's exciting. I think the young Brumbies fly half, Lolasiho will be on the bench, if fit. And, you know, even Tamua could potentially be on that bench because he can play the midfield, cover fullback.
Would he provide a little bit of solidarity at 12 if they started him at 12?
Who's that?
Tamua.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what you're going to get. Both. You know what you're going to get with him.
Yeah. Does he play a bit deep, Bryn?
Oh. To a certain extent, it just depends. Like sometimes he does, and then sometimes he doesn't. But I think for me as well, if I think of an inside, maybe an inside back, and you've got a lot of young guys around you, having that steady head that just gives you confidence around game management and communication, it just really helps you. So I agree that there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm and energy in young guys, which I think it should be based on form. But no, having guys like Tamua.
Well, yeah, he's been playing well as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Having guys like Tamua.
He could definitely play 12.
Yeah.
It could go the other way. He could play at 10 and O'Connor at 12.
Really, yeah. So, yeah, I think having a guy like that, whether he's at 10 or 12, I think it's going to be pretty, good to have a conversation around it.
A lot of chat about Harry Wilson as well. He's a guy with some potential.
Yeah, I love it how he's doing the softening up in the media already. It's a good approach.
I missed that. What did he say?
He was saying Hoskins Satidu could be the best number 8 in the world. Great ploy. He doesn't think it.
Pump him up.
It's a great ploy.
You reckon it's Rennie, mate?
No, I just think it's a bit of Brad Thorne maybe there. Just
yeah, nice.
Under that regime and just saying don't disrespect them because that will motivate them.
Yeah.
You know, he was the biggest advocate when, you know, the Wallabies were into the All Blacks, or, you know, we all know the infamous Quade Cooper, Richie McCaw incident. It looks like it's come straight out of the school of Thorne for me. I don't think he means it at all.
He's a smart man, mate. Smart man taking advice from Thorny.
It could be. I mean, we're used to Wallabies being maybe a little bit more abrasive, a little bit more confident and cocky and chatty about their own abilities. Is this maybe a Dave Rennie grounded approach?
I think, like, I genuinely think he hasn't been there long enough to make that, you know, imprint just yet. I honestly think a lot of it's, he's a Reds player. Honestly, the influence of Thorne on the Reds boys and what standards he expects is, it's evident in the way they play, it's evident in the way they hold themselves. So I think it's probably more credit to the way the Reds have been run at this stage. But with Rennie there, that's the sort of characters he likes as well. So there'll be a continuation of those messages and will, you know, flow through to their performances.
Yeah.
Where do we see the table sitting? Like, if you're looking now, a few weeks out from this whole thing starting, with the favourites, the All Blacks you'd have to think going as favourites. Wallabies second?
You'd have to think the Aussies would have to be second, just with the amount of footy they've played. You know, South Africa and they just had a bit of a disadvantage. We haven't been able to play a lot of footy. So I think, you know, and they'll have time through the duration of the competition to get into things. But man, that preparation time and being able to play footy, a whole competition and being able to iron out a lot of things, you know, I think they're going to have to be the second favourites. But then, you know, the South Africans are the world champions as well, you know, so you know, you can't underestimate them. So
The pressure's on the All Blacks and Wallabies. We can say they're favourites, they're second favourites, this is the third favourite. Doesn't really matter. There is absolutely no pressure on that South African side.
No.
There's absolutely no expectation. Nah. And to me, that makes them very, very dangerous.
Mate, that's the word, yeah. How are you?
You know, people say the disadvantage of not playing, but like no one expects them to come down here and win. So, one, that's motivating. Two, you're just like, you know, as a player, it's like release the shackles, have a crack.
Jim, it could be a very similar situation to like the Warriors, mate, galvanizing. You think about the media that the Warriors got given around, you know, you think about Gus Gould, funnily enough, is going to be with them next year. But the message said, you know, they're going to win two games. They're going to do this and do that, mate. And, mate, you know how proud the South Africans are. And, you know, so they should be there.
Exactly that. So all they've been reading is people writing them off.
Correct.
Another world champions.
It's dangerous, man. I don't. Mate, they're going to be dangerous. Motivated.
Yeah, but that's why I don't think you can put a favourite to it. It's oh. Yeah. I don't want to fuel their motivation, so I'll just say they're all equal.
Mate, we should just build up the rugby championship here, mate. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to watch it. Come on, get the starter.
I'm reserving judgment on the South Africans until I see that squad. Because
see, Ross, it's guys like you, mate. It's guys like you that are going to fuel them in the newspapers, mate.
But pretty much most of their World Cup squad is up in Europe these days. You know, and how many of those French teams are going to release their players for this rugby championship, which goes on into December, which is outside of the test window. And then how many of these players, I think Sia Khaleesi's already out, you know, I want to see that squad before I take a look, because they've got 6 weeks. They're going to be low on depth. From what I understand, the reason that they're playing until December 12 is because Argentina and South Africa felt that they didn't have the depth to do midweek games as well. They're already casting judgment on themselves. I'm waiting to see that squad.
Mate, as rugby as rugby players, mate, like for guys that haven't played a lot, they'll be that hungry.
I'd cast judgment on myself publicly too to even release more pressure. It's just I'm telling I reckon they'll be a surprise package.
Yeah,
and they're the world champs as well. It's amazing as well.
Yeah. Oh, that world champ team might not be here though. You know, like. Including their captain already. Yeah, such a key member of that team. Yeah. Man, I hope Chislin Colby's here, man, because Chislin Colby has been outrageous up north in the last few weeks.
Oh, he has. He has. He's just been in outrageous form for 2 years. I agree. Toulouse probably aren't that keen. But they've got enough hot setters up there. Peter Key's stepping through every other team as well, so they'll be right without him for a couple of weeks, surely.
So what do you guys make of this scheduling controversy? Like, I mean, obviously you're both employed by NZR, so I'm not expecting you to make any massive calls, but how have you seen everything happen? How have you seen it play out? What have you made of the way it's played out?
Oh, it just sounds like maybe, you know, the communication lines have not been connected, but I just don't think it's set in stone. I think they'll come to a solution that'll work for all. Yep. We're in a position where we've never been before. Everyone's learning as we go. There will be mistakes. There will be miscommunications. There will be misinterpretations. And that's just the nuts and bolts of it. But I still think that they'll get to a solution that works for all. I don't think it's set in stone. And even if it is set in stone, it's still going to be under further consultation. I just think there just needs to be a little bit of, you know, you don't want to create any more hysteria around it from a player's point of view. You also don't want to create any more hysteria around it because it's already a challenging situation. And the last thing I'd want is that hysteria to take away Test rugby from us. So I think it's just best to let the powers that be sort it out. They sort it out. Once it's set in stone and every party's happy, then we just get over there and play footy.
And I think that's the thing for us. We just want it set in stone. You know, that's the biggest thing for players. You know, we might be in the decision-making process around it, but when it comes to it, you know, once that decision's made, then you can actually, we'll be able to plan out and we'll be happy with that. So, and like Jipper said a lot in the previously, when we're talking around these issues, you know, players will be involved in those decisions. And so, you know, we've got a pretty good system around the NZRPA and guys that, that need to be there to make those decisions. So, you know, once it's set in stone and, I think 2020 is, you know, that year where you've just got to be not forgiving, but understanding. You know, it's never happened before, and you know, for us, it's more so just being aware. And then again, once it happens and it's set in stone, I think we'll be good to go.
I really hope it turns out to be a classic one, like that all the teams get down to the last couple of weeks with a chance, because that's kind of what we really need this year, isn't it? We need a competition which is tough and even. So, you know, all the things that we've gone through, all the things that I've overcome have been worthwhile, you know? It didn't turn out lopsided and the All Blacks won everything and ran away with it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it will. I think I just, yeah, it's such a new beginning for all teams. Mm. You know, the All Blacks, Wallabies, we've spoken about South Africa and their squad, Argentina. So I think it would be pretty hard to run away with the comp. But
yeah, I think if anything, in the early parts of the competition, New Zealand and Australia might have an advantage just because they've played.
Yeah,
it might take a couple of weeks for the South Africans and the Argentinians to get their rust off. But once they get in and they've played a couple of games, then I think we're going to see a pretty competitive competition moving forward.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.